Power your next journey with True North Convenience Stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is the final segment of Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. If you missed any of this fantastic show, and that's no thanks to me, it's all thanks to my guests and John Anthony, you can go back and listen to it on demand, or tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll replay the show in its entirety. So come on back tonight, 6 o'clock. My final guest of the day is GOP candidate for mayor of Buffalo, James Gardner. James, thank you for joining me this morning, especially on such short notice.
Joe, it's always a pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me.
Before we get to the different budget proposals from the other side of the aisle, it's been a few weeks since we checked in. How's the campaign going in the city of Buffalo?
It's going actually very well, Joe. I mean, as you might imagine, I've been as entertained as I'm sure all of you have been with the Democratic primary. And that has been certainly where most of the action and focus has been. And I can completely understand that. But while they've been bickering and poking each other, I've been out interacting with city residents and learning from them what they'd actually like and what they actually need from city government, rather than telling them what they're actually going to get. And it's been a very informative several weeks for me. I've really enjoyed it. It's the best part of the campaign is interacting with city residents, and we're really really looking forward to making our case to voters come the general election.
You know, again, the budgets are the news right now, especially going into the Democratic primary. But you look at the situation the city of Buffalo finds itself in. You know, James, you look back on how the city finances were handled for the last 5-10 years. What do you think got us to this point to where the city really is facing a fiscal crisis?
Well, I mean, the most entertaining part of this is that, you know, the contenders on the Democratic side seem to be asking city residents, even though they're the parties that got them into this mess, that they're going to be the appropriate party to get them out of it. You know, there's been a total abrogation, a total abandonment of fiscal responsibility in city finances for decades. And they've been able to sort of paper things over actually through the largesse of the COVID funding and things like that, one-time revenue streams, which is a trend that continues to this day, without really taking the necessary steps as a common counsel and as the executive from the mayor's office to really ensure that the city was on sound financial footing. I mean, we don't have to go back that far, Joe. I mean, if you go back to the 2023 budget, the difference, the size of the expenses have grown $43 million from 2023 to the proposed budget by the acting mayor here. And I can assure you as a city resident, I haven't enjoyed a $43 million increase in the level of services that City Hall has provided. So we don't have to go back. This isn't a total doom and gloom scenario. And part of what I anticipate after the conclusion of the Democratic primary is being able to lay out my priorities and what I think that how the city budget should be constructed is at a starting point. We just need to go back to where the funding levels that the city had in 2023, and we only have a $20 million budget gap to bridge, which is a heck of a lot easier than a $60 million budget gap. But as you can see, and as anybody who looks at these numbers realizes, that it's a $60 million budget deficit this year. It's only going to grow unless extreme but conscious efforts are made to control the spending, to cut the revenue, the expense side of the budget. That's where we need to start. And before we ask for city residents and city businesses to pay one extra dollar in taxes and fees, the government has to make the effort to rein in that spending, to right-size government, to get back to the brass tacks of what city, municipal government and the services that they're supposed to be providing. And until we do that, we're going to be wandering in the wilderness and destined to a fiscal control board, a hard fiscal control board that's going to force these changes on the city. So that's the lay of the land. And until we get a change in leadership and until someone gets serious about reining in costs, right-sizing government, this is going to be a perpetual problem for the city.
What are your thoughts? Mayor Scanlon wants to do away with, get out of the parking business. And Mayor Scanlon also wants to have a bed tax for hotels in the city of Buffalo. What are your thoughts on that proposal?
I mean, they're both ridiculous. First of all, with the bed tax, both of those proposals require legislative action from Albany. And frankly, we know the governor's doing a victory lap and patting herself on the back for passing this budget. But what we don't know are the details. We don't know whether these proposals actually made it. And my gut tells me that they didn't. So, and even with this bed tax that the, and I'll take that one first, with the bed tax, it's not raising a tremendous amount of revenue. And all it does is penalize people who are coming to our region. That is exactly the level of wrongheaded thinking that has plagued city government for probably the past 50 years. We're going to make it harder, less attractive for people to come in here, less attractive for people to invest here. It's wrong. Same thing goes with the parking ramp discussion. Those are city assets that not only produce revenue for the city of Buffalo, which is hard to come by these days. It's also maybe the more crucial element of it is the fact that it allows the city to essentially subsidize businesses that are doing business here. That's the comparative. That's the only comparative or thing that the city can do to help make it a more attractive place to do business versus Amherst or Hamburg or some of these suburban communities where you can move your corporate office park and they have an ocean of surface parking. Right. I mean, that's one of the least, you talk to business owners, that's one of the most least attractive thing about the city is doing business there is parking. Parking's an issue. And the city, by virtue of owning those parking ramps, the city is able to act and to keep the cost of that parking down to the point where employees and patrons are able to come down and are willing to come down and do business in the city of Buffalo. So the idea that we should be auctioning those assets off, incurring a debt, because that's how this whole thing is going to get paid for. It's going to get auctioned off, or they're going to sell it in this paper transaction to another authority, another branch of government that's going to be bloated by patronage jobs. And the way that they're going to be able to afford to buy these parking ramps is by issuing bonds that the city ultimately is going to have to pay, right? So you're getting rid of a revenue stream, you're adding debt, adding another bureaucratic layer of government, and you're potentially losing the control to manage what parking rates are set in the city. It's a total loser, should not be considered. What they should be doing is looking at ways to cut their spending, not these one-time things that in 2 years, you're going to blow through all of this, the money that that you got from issuing bonds, and where are you? Just with another debt obligation that the city, without a revenue stream to pay for it. And that's the crucial point.
Yeah, speaking of bonds, that seems to be all of Senator Sean Ryan's proposal, is to borrow the money to balance this budget. But this is my opinion. It seems like, 5 years down the road, that's just going to cause another issue like we're in today.
Absolutely. All that. I mean, at least you can say this for the acting mayor's plan. At least that plan is tied to a tangible asset. Sean Ryan's plan is just throw it on a credit card. I mean, and you can talk to any business, any family. If you're in financial hardship, the last thing you should be doing is incurring more debt. And that's exactly what his plan is. We're just going to borrow more, and somehow we're going to figure out how to pay for it down the way. What everybody running for mayor should be doing is looking at, why are our costs going up the way that they are? How is it possible that in a 2-year period, our costs have exploded $43 million? How is that possible? What changes need to be made to bring that size of government back down, to limit our costs? And I mean, until we do that, it's setting a course on a hard fiscal control board for the city of Buffalo, which is going to force these changes on the city anyway. And no one's going to like it. No one's going to be better for it. It would be much better if these politicians would instead be honest with taxpayers and say, what we really need to do here is we really need to right-size government and bring down the costs and make the necessary trims on the expense side before we deal with the revenue side, because you're not taxing your way out of this problem. You're not raising fees to get out of this problem. You have to address the structural fundamental issues, which are the expenses.
You said you're keeping your eye on on what's going on the other side, heading into the Democratic primary. Other than the budget, what else have you noticed from some of your opponents?
Well, I think there's always going to be, the budget side of things is obviously, as you pointed out, taking up a tremendous amount of oxygen. But some of the things that I think without a doubt that's the biggest part of it. But what we have to be very careful here on is ensuring that whatever budget changes get made, whatever expense changes get made, we have to make sure that we're delivering the essential services to city residents. So that's police. We saw how important the fire department was just this past week with that 4-alarm fire downtown. I mean, you have to make sure that the the roads, you have to make sure that the city is fulfilling the bare functions that city residents need in order to make this place, make the city worth living in. But apart from that, I think you need to look at, there's always going to be a discussion about affordability and housing and things and things like that, discussions like that. And I think that is, again, an area that has to be really looked at carefully here. And I know the city owns and is sitting on a tremendous portfolio of property, and they're just sitting on it. One of the key things that the city could be doing is auctioning and selling off those assets, those parcels of land, and getting those parcels back on the tax roll. Again, you have to look for revenue streams where you can find it, and the more equitable way to do it, rather than raising taxes on homeowners and businesses who are already getting taxed more than they should be, is putting homes, putting apartment buildings on these oceans of open land that they have on Sycamore. Right, drive down Sycamore and tell me that people are running around saying we have an affordability problem, and then you look at the vast open expanses of Sycamore and how you can't envision, or how the city can't facilitate the construction of new housing in areas of the city like that is beyond comprehension.
You know, you talked about and with the budget, the need for revenue and, you know, business and all that. You look at downtown, and obviously downtown seemed to be, you know, on this kind of renaissance before the pandemic. And now, I mean, 20, 30,000 less people a week are going in downtown Buffalo. How important is downtown Buffalo to Buffalo's future? And, you know, what kind of focus does the government need to make on downtown Buffalo?
It is essential. I mean, it's not just a Buffalo issue. I would make the argument that it's a regional one. The city of Buffalo you can't have a failed, desolate downtown in Erie County and expect people and businesses to want to locate here and do businesses here. I mean, it's essential from a regional perspective that the city does well, but what the city government needs to do is make it an easier place and more attractive place to do business. And I'll warrant, you know, in the next couple of years, it's going to be tough. The city government is going to have to tighten its belt and really reorganize and rethink how they do business. But one of the first things they should be doing is figuring out, and what I plan to do is figure out how to make it a more attractive place to do business. And as I said earlier, the last thing we should be doing is selling off the parking ramps, which are so essential to attracting businesses into the city center, right? What sense does it make for an employer to relocate downtown from either a suburban community or from outside New York State when they can't assure the people that work for them that they're going to be able to park in an affordable way? It doesn't make any sense. And that is one of the core functions of what the mayor needs to be doing. And what I plan on doing is advocating for the city, making it a more attractive place to do business, to live. And what you have to do is, unfortunately, we're going to have to take our medicine here for the next couple of years, but hopefully we're going to emerge on the other side of it with a more sustainable, stable, expenses, which will, you know, if a business owner knows that they, what their tax burden is going to be, what their costs are going to be, and they can rely on that moving forward, I think the city of Buffalo could be a tremendously advantageous place to do business. And I am very confident when I'm mayor that it will be.
James, as always, thank you so much for joining me, especially on such short notice. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Joe.
That is GOP candidate for mayor of Buffalo, James Gardner. And that is Hardline for this May 4th, 2025. My thanks to Erie County Legislator Lindsay Larigo, to Ken Cruley, Washington Insider Dave Leventhal, and GOP candidate for Buffalo Mayor James Gardner. If you missed any of the show, come on back here tonight at 6 p.m. It will be played in its entirety. But stay tuned. President Donald Trump is the guest on Meet the Press after this break on News Radio 930 WBEN. I will be back on Wednesday. So enjoy Monday and Tuesday. Just Brian, I'll be back Wednesday, 9 a.m. for BMAZ and Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Power your next journey with True North Convenience Stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Breaking news from Good Ranchers. Over 85% of grass-fed beef in stores is imported. Most grocery store meat contains antibiotics, hormones, and harmful seed oils. Good Ranchers does things differently. All their meat is born and raised on local American farms. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no seed oils. Just one ingredient, meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and get $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. That's code RANCH25 for $25 off your first order. GoodRanchers.com. American meat delivered.